Hello, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Finding That Next Gear. Super pumped today. I've got Dan Eilish. Dan, thanks for joining.
Thank you. It's a pleasure.
So the purpose of my podcast is we talk to high growth entrepreneurs, walk through, how they took a company from inception and ideation to growth, scale, and sometimes exit. You're a little bit more on the earlier side than we typically talk to, but we were introduced about a month ago, and I thought your company was really interesting, and I love the use case that you solve for, and it's something that I've struggled with myself, which we'll get into that in a minute. But it looks like you've been an entrepreneur more or less for about 7 years, and then you founded Jamshare about a year and a half, maybe a little bit longer than that.
I've started in marketing space, and I'm in marketing space. That's what I primarily do, and all that kind of led me to meeting certain people that pushed me to learn new things and helping develop some platforms and apps. And right now I am here with Jamshare and still doing a lot of marketing, which helps a lot on the side, knowing the marketing side of it. But that's kind of where I started.
Yeah, no, I feel like marketing is a superpower. It's one where I started my entrepreneurial journey with like more of a sales focus, but I've realized that the further I've got into it, that I wish I knew marketing before sales, right? Because it's such a broad and vast discipline, and it's pretty tough to learn on the fly. Something I'm struggling with, to be honest with you. But so been an entrepreneur better part of 7 years or so. And why'd you become an entrepreneur? Did you always kind of have that pull and that push, or did you fall into it? The way that a lot actually do.
Well, 9 to 5 sucks, if you,
Well said.
and but honestly, it depends on your personality, on your drive. So like some people are fine working 9 to 5 and they don't want to worry about anything because, being an entrepreneur, which I don't normally call myself that because I feel like there's a lot to learn and grow, but some people are fine with not worry about problems and not hustling, and they're just, for them to be happy, they're fine with that. They, want to spend more time doing things, maybe like hobbies or family, which is not wrong at all. Like I'm all in for that. I've always was bored. Like if I was just doing 9 to 5, I was bored, and I was always trying to find some projects on the side and get some things done on the side. And finding something to work on, even if you don't know if it's going to succeed, was always interesting. Like it was something new, something that I could bring to the world and maybe can help people. Or my first thing that I started was like a marketing agency. Like it was so interesting to find new clients that do something that I've never heard about or knew about. Like one of my clients is a dentist, and now I personally know how to make veneers. Like I could literally go in and tell you the whole step-by-step process of veneers. Or some companies do cleaning. Like it's a cleaning industry, and it's so interesting to know how that works. So that was really interesting on the marketing side. And then when I met, like I said, I met some of my friends who introduced me to tech world, where I've learned like totally industries that I've never heard about. And learning something new, like building something new, is means learning something new. And I feel like as long as you learn something new, you grow.
That's a super interesting point, and I agree. I mean, one of the reasons that I kind of moved into the space myself was variety. I found that I get bored when I'm doing the same thing over and over and over. It can be painful to like be thrust into the new things and learn new skills, but I really enjoy it, and I need that variety on a daily basis, weekly basis, and a yearly basis. But let's talk about the fun stuff here. So Jamshare, I think the application, the concept is awesome. But would love to kind of hear in your words on what you guys do and, like, how'd you come up with the idea?
Yeah, so the way it started, let me bring you an example. Okay, so we have me and we have my mom. My mom leaves out of town, and she comes in town and says, "Hey, let's meet," right? And I would send her Google Maps link to a place where we're gonna meet, and she uses Apple Maps, and she's not really tech savvy, right? So she opens Google Maps and it opens for her in the browser, and she can figure out how to use it, right? And then I'll have to like either send her the address so she can copy the address and paste in the Apple Maps, so she can get to the place. And then there's another problem. I have a same taste in music as the rest of my friends, but we have different music apps. So I use Spotify, my other friend uses Apple Music, and my other friend uses YouTube Music.
I still use
And
Pandora
every time
and
you
Spotify,
use Pandora?
YouTube, all of them.
Yeah, we're actually adding Pandora next in the next few weeks. But so if I send a song to a group thread, and let's say there are 10 people in a group thread, 60% of people will not listen to it, not because they don't want to listen to it. They're not going to listen to it because they can't, because they use a different app. Of course, they can find the song by artist name and the song name, but nobody's doing that. People are lazy nowadays. So that's the kind of like a problem that everybody's having every day. Every day you send a location, there's a high chance that somebody's using a different app. You send a song, there's a high chance that somebody's using a different music app. So in 2024, my two really good friends and I were traveling to different music festivals all around the world. It kind of 2024 was our travel year. And two of them actually came up with an idea. And they're like, we were sending songs to each other. And like I said, we used all different apps and it was a pain. And they were like, this should not be that hard. We should like create something that solves this problem. So they told me about it and it was a great idea, but I felt like it could be bigger. Like it could be way bigger than just sending list of links that people click on. So like, if we build a web page where it takes people and it shows all the icons, we can monetize it. We can advertise things and we can maybe get people to download our app. So it went from there, and really quickly our team grew. Like from them to me, and then we added a developer, and then we added some more marketing people. I think at this point it's 9 of us. It just really quickly grew into something bigger, and we're like, okay, so it came out with music, right? And we're like, we can also add maps to it because Maps has the same problem. People have different Maps apps, so we added Maps apps, and we're like, okay, let's add history to it. Let's add history of shares. Let's add favorites. How about we do playlist sharing and stuff like that? So it really quickly became something bigger than just one thing, which is always exciting. And that was the most exciting part for me about it. I was like, okay, so it's a really cool concept. We can get people through solving the pain, but we can add so much more to it, so much more value that people can get from it. And the best thing is like, we're not, I mean, obviously everybody's motivated by making money, but all of us were really motivated by first, we were like, we're gonna make it work for us. We're gonna make something that solves our problem. And then we're gonna give it to the world and see if people are gonna enjoy it. So at the beginning of this year in January, the same two friends and I, we went to a Groove Cruise. It's a cruise for EDM music lovers. It's kind of like same, like imagine a rave on the boat. So we went to Groove Cruise and we launched it and we started telling people about it. Like we printed stickers, we got merch, we just were working around. People were asking what it is. And seeing how people's faces lit up about the idea, like we would explain them my idea, and they were like, whoa, like I have this problem all the time. Like my friends and I using different apps. And some people use apps that we've never even heard about. It's, there are main apps like Spotify, YouTube Music, and Apple Music, but there's so many apps that we're going to add because people actually use them for a different kind of quality of music, for different content, but they have to always go find it. When they send it to their friends can't listen to it. So we were building it, the first version we're building, I think, for around 6 months. And you always, I guess, kind of start second guessing yourself. Like at first you lit up with the idea and you're like, oh my gosh, I'm so excited about it. And then the longer you work on it, you kind of start second guessing, is it going to actually work? Like, will people actually want to use it and then maybe potentially pay for it? And I went through that stage. It's definitely something that you have to kind of push away those thoughts and focus on the main goal and idea. But then when we went to that cruise and started telling people about it, and I saw people's reaction and people would get their phone and download right away, I was like, wow, we are actually onto something here huge.
So I mean that's pretty cool about the cruise. I feel like that's guerrilla marketing. You know what I mean? Like you don't hear about that much these days. And what a great use case and time and investment and I'm sure ROI too on the cruise. Not only did you have fun, but you got to kind of like try out your product in a real world setting with people who would care. I think that's great. And then the it's funny is the application about the maps that resonates with me because I have the same issue with my mom. Just it's tough for her to kind of navigate addresses and that resonates. And also the music thing, I send links to people via YouTube for music that they need to listen to. And I don't know about you, but I've got like, I'll send some friends this type of music, some friends this type of music, and then others like podcasts. And I've got to go to YouTube, find the link, share it. Of course, you can do some of that in Spotify, but then you've got to make sure the other person has that app on the other side. And so that really resonated with me, like I said, when we first talked, because I lived that life. And I think it's awesome that you're kind of aggregating the music and allowing it to be listenable, regardless of what applications people prefer. So kudos to you, and that's awesome. So how have things been going? I mean, how has your role evolved over the last year and a half? And what's the long-term goal of the envision of the company?
Yeah, so it blew off right away. Like the moment we launched it, we went to Groove Cruise. We kind of advertised it. We made some social media posts. We didn't advertise it. We didn't do any paid promotions at the beginning. It went up like right away. People started sharing. And the cool thing about it is now sometimes you download the app, you never use it. I have apps on my phone that I don't open in a year, haven't opened in a year, and we have. Like we can see the active shares, and we see shares every single day, and we see like active users. Like there are people who, I mean, have the same problem as you, right? And then they love sending music, and those people send music every day, like tens of songs every day.
I've sent a couple of songs probably literally every day to people, just like, oh, you know, like usually throwbacks, but yeah, like, yeah, exactly.
So it grew up really quick. And then, like I said, we launched the first version in January. In then end of March, we launched Maps version, and that grew up like that brought different audience of people. So, let's say there are people who don't care about music. Some people don't either listen to music, which is crazy to me. I could never imagine that music plays in around me 24/7, or they just listen to it, but they don't really care about sending it to anybody. So that would not really resonate with them. But the Maps version actually resonates with everybody. And we were able to bring people who didn't care about music also to the app through the map, through Maps. So it went from there, Maps, and then now we're working on, adding more platforms and adding support for like playlists, podcasts, albums, and stuff like that. We have a few major, huge products and projects that we're gonna release maybe in a year or so. And that would be like completely like it would be in the same kind of area, but it would be way bigger than just what we have right now. Like, of course, I can't discuss it right now, but so
Understood. Totally.
that's gonna we will be growing. And the goal is, I'll be honest with you, we don't have a certain goal set of like, do you want to exit? Do you want to sell it? It's because we're just having fun doing it. It's so much fun to create, and like every time I tell somebody about the app, like I can see how people are reacting, like, wow, this is so cool. How this has never been created before, we have 5-star rating on App Store, and like all the comments and reviews are basically saying, like, how has this never been created before? This is so awesome, So I mean, obviously everybody wants to have on their portfolio, like, hey, I created and exited the company, and like, or I mean, we definitely want to grow it. Like, we don't have in mind, like, okay, are we going to sell it or are we going to exit it? Maybe, who knows, right? But we definitely want to grow it, and we definitely want to make it like a big thing that everybody knows and everybody's using to kind of unite people through music and places sharing.
I love that. And I also too, I mean, I feel like there's, you know, you can stumble over B2B applications, but not niche ones often. And I feel like this one's very, very niche, which is exciting. And it also kind of can add to that viral component because you know who you're going to resonate with and who you're not going to resonate with. But you kind of alluded to this at the outset of the call. But what was really that defining moment for starting the company? Like when did it click? Like I have something here, or this is a real need that I'm following, that I'm fixing versus just, hey, it's a cool idea in theory.
Okay, yeah. So from the very beginning, when my friends told me about the idea, I was like, immediately clicked for me because I have this problem all the time. So, and I'm talking about me personally, then I'll kind of go into how it clicked for everybody else. I even when I have sent songs to my family thread, I did what you did. I would go to YouTube, find the song, and send it through a family thread because everybody can listen to songs on YouTube, even though they have to listen to two ads, right? And my parents don't have any kind of apps, so I would do that way. The moment it really clicked for us is when we started building it, and I was at some kind of event, and I was talking to somebody who turned out to be an investor, and he kind of told me what he's doing, and he's like, "What are you doing?" So I said, "Well, we're building this thing." He's like, "Well, tell me more." So I told him more, and he got excited really quick. He said, "Well, can you add title to it?" I said, "Yeah, we actually gonna add title to it." He said, "Okay, can we jump on the call and discuss more so I can see maybe potential invest?" I was like, "Well, sure, we're kind of not really looking for investors at the moment. We're at the building stage, but yeah, sure, let's do it." So we jumped on the call, and he kind of went through his questions of how it works and what's it gonna be in the future. And he really got excited and he wanted to invest. And then my two co-founders were like, "You know what? I think we're sitting on something so big here that we don't realize ourselves that we might want to just pause and, think through it, and then maybe we'll decide." So we didn't get any investment that time. We were like, "Okay, you know what? It's too early. Our value is going to be way bigger when we have 2,000s of users, like thousands of users, right?" So we didn't do it, but that was the moment where we're like, "Okay, we're sitting on something great here, and we don't want to just give away pieces without even, growing more."
So how long did it take from ideation to build to your very first subscriber?
So we started at the end of August 2024, and we launched beta on I think December.
Wow.
The beta was just closed beta for some friends and family. But of course, some people were asking, like, hey, can I get on beta? Can I get on beta? I really want to try it." And then I think in December we launched waitlist, and waitlist also got filled up really quick. And then on January we released the actual version. We went public with it, and then it got like all like most of our waitlist went into it, and then like we started getting users right away.
Do you think the crew being on the cruise and promoting it and kind of in the manner in which you did that kind of help with the
It definitely helped. I'll say this. If anybody's listening and they're planning to launch their app on the cruise, just consider there's no internet connection really, unless people pay for it. So
right.
people can't really open their phone and download it, which we had happen. Like people would download because some people had internet connection, right? And sometimes you just have mobile service appears. But it will be something that people are like, "Oh, it's so cool. They're gonna save it, take a screenshot, maybe get your card with QR code," but they can't get it instantly, and you don't know if they're gonna get it, right? It definitely helped though. It definitely helped because it was a place where people went to listen to music, and it's like people who listen to music actively and share music. So it was the perfect target audience.
So, if you could go back a year and a half from now, and give yourself some advice, what advice would that be in regards to starting a company, launching a company? I mean, what things would you have done differently? And I'm sure there's a few here and there, and a couple of lessons learned along the way.
Yeah, there's for sure a few things there. I would come up with the better roadmap, which honestly I don't think our roadmap was bad or anything like that. It's just we were excited and we came up with a lot of features. And while you coming up with a lot of features, you have to decide which one you're gonna work and which one you're gonna prioritize.
And which ones make sense? You know what I mean? Like,
Right.
because
Yeah.
I feel like a lot of growth companies get in that mindset where it's like, well, I like it, so everybody else is going to like it, you know?
Exactly. And then you also have to make sure that it's not just something you like and something that people will use. Although we started building this for us, we're like, we're gonna build it for us and to solve our problem. It just happened to be a problem that resonates with millions of people. I would if I go a year back, I would definitely actually less than a year because it's been less than a year. If I would go to the beginning, I would definitely come up with a set of features and roadmap just for the next year, not for 5 years ahead, and focus on that and building just the things that basically building the MVP, and don't try to build anything else, but honestly we haven't done any kind of mistakes. Like we haven't done anything wrong. I mean, for now, I hope we're not going to do anything in the future that is wrong, but so far it's been great. I would just, the only thing I would change is like the roadmap, make a better roadmap.
Yeah, but also, I mean, I know one of your co-founders I've had on my show before. I mean, you know, he's technical, right? So I think that could be a superpower as well within a founding team. Like, you know, I'm non-technical, and I've got a marketplace, and I'm guilty of a lot of horrific mistakes as a result. And so I'm sure, you know, having somebody with a technical background can help keep you a little grounded and kind of tighten scope a little bit.
100%. I'll tell you more. So he's technical, and another co-founder, she's actually a woman, and she's more technical than both of us put together. She's amazing, and having both of them being technical, and not just technical, they're both built and exited companies, so they have that experience that I would not get otherwise anywhere else. Having them advising and telling things that I've, like I said. Internship, it's all about learning. As long as you learn, you grow. You stop learning, you stop growing. So having them advising me on things gave me so much experience that I would never have gotten anywhere else. And I'm very thankful to them for that. And most of the time they would like say, okay, well, you have to figure it out on your own. Go ahead and figure it out. If you can in the end, we'll help you, but try to figure out it. So they didn't just give me a script that I followed. I had to learn things on my own, figure out things, but I knew that if I can't figure something out, they will always have my back, you know? That
That's
definitely helped.
yeah. So I think you kind of just answered this question, but you know, what do you feel the number one trait of entrepreneurs is for like those that succeed versus those that don't?
I'll be honest, I can't answer that question. Like I haven't been around long enough to kind of know where I mean, I can say what I think, but I
Who
can't say based on my experience.
the learning component, right? I mean, I think that's a big one, right? If you're not interested in learning, you're not willing to learn. Then that could be quite challenging.
True. And I will say what I think also. I think it's the consistency. You just have to be consistent in anything you do in life, not just internship, but just like if as long as you're consistent, you will succeed. Like your company may not make money first few years. But as long as you're consistent and you consistently building things and you're evolving and you're creating new things and you try to figure out how make it work, you'll get there,
You got to.
right?
Right, that's part of it.
Exactly.
Well, Dan, thanks for the time. I mean, so anything else on the horizon that you can share? I know you guys are pretty heads down right now with Build, and you've got some other initiatives you're working on. But anything else worth sharing that maybe we didn't cover on the podcast that you feel others could benefit from knowing about you, maybe, or about Jamshare?
I'll also cover this because it's something that you mentioned and I thought about that it kind of helped us move Jamshare forward. So you said it helped that they were technical, like my co-founders were technical. It also helped a lot that I'm coming from the marketing background. If you build something B2B, marketing is important, but it's not necessarily a sexy marketing, right? Me being marketing heavy and then being technical helps put all our basically experiences together
Yes.
and push it through because this is something that you have to heavily market. Like it's not just enough to build a good product, which normally it's working this way. You build a good product and people advertise it for you, which is something that we also try to do, but being able to market it and create a great content, then you can figure out how to push the people to watch is very important when you do something B2C. So
100%.
with this kind of app, our marketing was incredible, and I think that helped a lot also push it through. So if you have somebody that has have you on marketing or logistics or technical. It's always together to put those minds together.
Yeah, no, I agreed. I'm a solopreneur myself, and it's been challenging. You know, often I wish I had other folks to work with, collaborate with, bounce ideas off, but haven't found that right person yet, you know. But where can people, you know, download the app? Where can people learn more about you? Where can people find you?
Yeah, so go to jamshare.io if you want to learn about the app, if you want to use the app and download it. It's available on App Store, Apple App Store, and Google Play Store. It's free, so you can download it, use it. If you want access to more features, you can get on our wait list for GemX. That's the feature that will have all of the features together. Yeah, so Jamshare.io, Jamshare on App Store and then Google Play Store.
Excellent. We'll be sure to add some links to the podcast. Well, Dan, I really appreciate the time. Sincerely, congrats on the app, and the application. I think it's fantastic. And super, super glad to have you on and hear about all the success you've had in such a small period. It's gonna be great to see what you do in the next, year, 3, 5 years. So thanks for
I
joining.
appreciate it. Thank you for having me on. It's been a pleasure.